Thank you for tuning into the weekly sermon from Journey of Hope, a United Methodist community. We are a welcoming community that fosters belonging and acceptance. Through ministries, we enable individuals to transform their lives as they learn to follow Jesus Christ. We follow the guidance of the Spirit in sharing our faith through missional adventures, building relationships, and offering our witness to our community and world. We serve the Elgin, Illinois area and are located at the corner of Randall Road and Highland. To learn more about us, you can check us out at johumc.org or any of our social media platforms by searching Journey of Hope. And now, here is this week's message. Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Journey of Hope. I am Pastor Jared. It's certainly good to see some of you joining us here in the sanctuary, as well as all of you joining from home or wherever you may be this morning. It is good to be in the house of the Lord. It's good to be with all of you together here and online. A couple of things just want to bring to your attention. This week we begin our journey. The journey of Lent. On Wednesday, we begin this with Ash Wednesday. Ash Wednesday, we will meet here in the sanctuary for a service of reflection, a time of the imposition of ashes, which we are working through a process so that it is safe and healthy for all of those who are participating. Another piece that is happening is that for many of you that are here today, you've received a Lenten bag, and for those of you at home, they will be coming. A lot of them will be delivered here over the next couple of days, and so keep an eye out on that. It's something to kind of help you along this journey. And so we certainly thank Mary Becker and the worship team for putting a lot of this together and getting these for you for this special season. It is a special season of Lent. We are doing a Lenten study as well as a series that we're going to follow along each week. Words of Life, looking at the Ten Commandments more as promises than all of these rules that we shall not do. And so I encourage you to join for all of those. We have small groups Tuesdays at 1:30 in the afternoon, Wednesdays at 7:15, and Thursdays at 7 p.m. And so we encourage you to join one of those groups. We do still have some books in the office if you are looking for the Words of Life book so that you can follow along with us. That is also there. But as we begin worship this morning, I encourage especially those at home to carve out this special holy place, the space that you are in, whether that's lighting a candle, bringing a vase in, bringing a picture in, creating a holy space for you. And so as we say our opening prayer, I'd ask that as the Spirit comes and dwells among all of us here, that the Spirit is dwelling with you as well. And that little space can just remind you of that sacred space that you are in. And so I ask that you would pray with me this morning. Gracious and heavenly Father, send your Spirit. Send your Spirit to us today. Let us know your presence is right next to us. Help us to worship you. Help us to hear you this morning as we gather from all over this world. As we gather in one mind and in one spirit, your Spirit, to worship you, Creator Almighty. And so guide our hearts, guide our thoughts as we worship you this day. In Jesus' name, amen. We worship this morning. For those of you in here, inside here, we once again remind you to think the melody. Think the words as the words will be up on the screen. But for those of you at home, sing out as loud as you can. Maybe we'll be able to hear you from in the sanctuary. But our opening hymn is Majesty. Worship His Majesty.
I lucked into being here on a day to hear that lovely music, and may the words that I receive be a light to your feet. This is 2 Corinthians 4, 3 through 6, and then Mark 9, 2 through 9. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of the darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. And from Mark, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. And there he's transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than any in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and covered them, and a voice came from the cloud, "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw any with them except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. May God bless the reading, hearing, and understanding of his word.
Thank you, Mary. And I, too, have feeling glad that I was here to finally hear a group singing again. Just a wonderful sound as we share together. I look forward to more of that. So I know Chris is looking for others to join in those times of being able to sing. Well, so remember those special days, your birthday, an anniversary, maybe even Christmas, when someone gave you a gift. It was all wrapped up neatly, many times just topped off with a nice bow. They went through, the thought went into selecting the gift. Care went into packaging the gift and wrapping it up for the big reveal, hoping to get a surprise reaction from you. Now, you may be one of those who carefully dissect the wrapping paper, almost as if you were going to use it again. And maybe some of you have done that. Or maybe you're more like me and my brothers at Christmas, that we would just rip everything to shreds, rip it all off, not sparing a single inch of the paper, quickly throwing it into a heap in the middle of the floor. And we would open the box and stare at the wonderful present before our eyes. Maybe we would think about the person who gave us such a great gift. Or as kids, we would just imagine all of the things that we would do with it. One year, our gift in the Severing household as young boys was a treasured Atari 2600. Oh, the long days and nights of Defender and Space Invaders and, yes, Pitfall. And yes, I see. Some of you remember those. The visions dance in our heads, kind of like the sugar plum fairies from the night before. It was awesome. Almost as good as an official Red Ryder carbine action 200-shot range model air rifle with a compass and a stock and this thing that tells time. Maybe you remember a time like this. Maybe you remember a gift that was given to you that you cherished more than anything else at that time. It was beautiful. And everything that you hoped for, you envisioned the things that you would do with it, how it would change your life. And even more, how you would tell your friends all about it. Can you see it? Do you remember a time like this? Okay, so I want you to hold on to that. Keep that in mind as we begin today. Keep that in the back of your mind as we make this journey today. In your bulletins, you will find compass guides, the same questions and scripture passages that come out in social media, places for you to take notes, for jot down thoughts, and time to be able to spend alone with God. And so I encourage you to do that. But as we begin, will you pray with me? Gracious God, we come striving to hear your word, to hear what you would speak to us today. And so, God, I ask that the words that I speak are no longer my own, but that they are your words and your message for your people. Open our hearts and our minds to truly receive you this morning. Amen. So today is Transfiguration Sunday. It is the day we celebrate the dramatic transformation of Jesus Christ right before Peter's eyes. You probably remember the story, but maybe hearing it again will prompt new understanding. I find that going over a particular passage in Scripture will award different phrases and different meanings the more you go over it. And so here we are on this special day, remembering that Jesus took Peter, James, and John up to the mountaintop for a special purpose. Now, to get context, this happens right after Jesus feeds 4,000 people with 7 loaves of bread and a few fish. And yes, this was different than the time just a little bit earlier with 5,000 and 2 fish and 5 loaves. There's also a little healing that happens, and then Jesus explains about his death and resurrection. Of course, the disciples don't get it. They don't understand. Well, anyway, Jesus, Peter, James, and John all make the trek up this mountainside. When they reach the top, something incredible happens. Jesus is not only transformed, but he's transfigured. The dictionary will tell us that this means Jesus became more beautiful than ever before. And Scripture tells us that his clothes became dazzling white and radiant. Along with this change came 2 visitors, Elijah and Moses. Can you imagine the sight? Can you imagine being there on that mountain with Peter? How would you be feeling as you witnessed this absolutely amazing sight? We get a glimpse into how Peter was feeling as he told Jesus that it would be good for them to stay on the mountaintop. I mean, can you blame him? This is an amazing sight. And to be in the presence of not only Jesus, but Elijah and Moses. Peter might have thought it was unreal, maybe a little surreal to be there. However, I mean, think about it for a minute. I shared with you a couple of things that led up to this moment between feeding a huge crowd with table scraps, healing a blind man, and Jesus' strange story about death and resurrection. The disciples might have been feeling a little overwhelmed. Of course, they didn't understand all that they had witnessed. And even though Peter confesses that Jesus is the Christ just before this, I wonder if that truth had really set in for him. Peter, James, and John are given a beautiful gift, a wonderful gift. They are witnesses to an amazing event in the life of Jesus, this transfiguration. Right after the change, they hear the voice of God telling them, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." Talk about a gift. You would think if they ever doubted in their life about who this man fully was, this is it. This would solidify the truth in their hearts. They now fully know who Jesus is. But there's a little catch. We find it in the last verse that Mary read here this morning. Jesus tells them, "Don't tell anyone." Come on, Jesus, are you serious? Don't tell anybody? What has just happened? We need to tell everybody. But Jesus says, no. No. No one. Can't we tell the other disciples? Can't we tell Peter's mother? No one. I mean, this is big news and the whole world needs to hear it, but no, not a single soul, at least not until after the resurrection. How good do you think you would be at keeping a secret like that? I can imagine social media blowing up the next day. Someone would tweet, "Tide Pods have got nothing on this detergent that Jesus was using." Instagram feeds would be filled with references to the glow of pregnant women and Jesus on the mountaintop. There would be a new TikTok dance dedicated to the triple threat of Jesus, Elijah, and Moses. And oh yes, all of those Orbit gum commercials claiming fabulous clean teeth would have to be taken down. I would think the word would travel all over about this event, especially today. However, Peter, James, and John were told not to say anything to anyone, so they kept it quiet. They did, until after the resurrection. But here's the good news. We don't have to keep it quiet. We don't have to not tell anyone. We don't have to wait to share about our experiences in our relationship with Jesus. We can talk about it right now to anybody who will listen. I mean, sure, those disciples were given a gift that day as they witnessed the wonderful transfiguration, but we also have received a wonderful gift. We've received a transformed life through Jesus Christ. I mean, think back to the gift that I was asking you about earlier, that special gift, the one that you were absolutely thrilled to receive. Maybe it was a toy. Maybe it was a book, a video game, a BB gun, or possibly an engagement ring. Or maybe you're going to be grandparents' note. Maybe it's a family heirloom. This gift was one that you cherished and you thought of all the ways it would impact your life. Maybe making it easier, maybe bringing a little more joy to your life. Whatever it was, you couldn't wait to take it out of the box. The excitement was so great that maybe it was difficult to get out of the box. You wanted to hold it in your hands and show it off to the world around you. You wanted to tell your friends and your family all about it. Maybe you took pictures of it and posted them. Maybe even got a video of your reaction to opening that gift. You now had a testimony that needed to be shared, and nothing was going to stop you. In our renewed life through Jesus, we've received this special gift. Grace is a gift for all, and it's been freely given. Regardless if you've accepted Jesus into your life or not, at this point, you've received this grace. We didn't have to do anything to get it. All we had to do is receive it. All we need to do is open the box. We remember today the story of Jesus and his transfiguration, but we also remember how God has transformed our lives by the grace of God through Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul writes to the church in Corinth, "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shown in our hearts to give us the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Peter saw the glory of God that day on the mountain as he looked into the face of Jesus. And that's just what Paul is telling us today in this passage. We too have seen the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We too have seen the transformation in not only ourselves, but others around us as well. This is a gift for us. But unlike Peter, James, and John, we are not told to keep it to ourselves. We are called to share and to witness the testimony with all of those around us. We open the box, allowing the light to fill us, to shine through us. We let the light out of the box. This gift of grace is not one that we hold on to for our consumption only. This is for the transformation of the world. Our faith is personal, but it's never private. Our faith is personal, but it is never private. Those three disciples saw the glory of God on the mountain. And when the time came, they proclaimed the gospel to everyone that would listen. That message of hope, grace, and love. They were given a story to share. A story to tell the nations. We have lives that have been transformed. We have a story to tell, do we not? We need to not only open the box and receive the gift, but need to take the gift out of the box so that it can be shared with others. I mean, you probably found it pretty easy to share about that special gift that we were thinking of earlier, that gift that you received for Christmas or your birthday or maybe your anniversary or maybe Valentine's Day. Why not this? Why not share this? When the time comes, will you be ready? Will you be ready to share your message? Will you be ready to share your story, or maybe just a piece of your story? Back in 1995, Sherry and I had our first daughter, Stephanie. And some of you may remember me telling you a story about her miraculous birth. She was early, really, really early. 24 and a half weeks, to be exact. At birth, she weighed 1 pound, 3.5 ounces. So many things running through our heads during those months of hospital visits. How was this ever going to work out? Will she make it through? What problems is she going to have? What problems is she going to face? Will she ever have, quote unquote, a normal life? She was in the hospital for about 3 months. And while we visited and spent all of our available time at her bedside, I still needed to work. Sherry still needed to work. My coworkers couldn't understand why I could remain so calm during those times. Even some of the nurses wondered the same thing. I even remember one of the members of the quartet that I sing with had asked that question, how can you just remain like smooth water while all of this is crashing around you? How can you handle this so well? The answer was always the same. I knew that God was still in control. Even if everything seemed out of control to me, God was still in control. I mean, there were certainly days when it seemed like everything was going to fall to pieces. However, it was my faith and my trust in God that allowed me to focus on just loving my family, offering encouragement to Sherry, especially when she needed it, and through prayer, letting go of all those other things. I mean, in the end, worrying about it wouldn't change the outcome, right? This witness was one that God gave me to share. It was an experience that allowed me to offer peace in difficult situations when I became a chaplain for that very same neonatal intensive care unit some 20 years later. God placed a story in my life to be able to share my faith with others. What story do you have to tell? What places has God placed before you so that you can share about His hope, grace, and love. I think of so many of you here and watching at home. I think of Jeff and Jenny and Lori and Jason and the witness and the testimony that they continue to share. And so many of you who have seen healing come, have seen peace flow over you. A story to tell. A testimony to share. A life transformed that you can share with everyone around you. You have been given a gift. Open the box. Let the light of God shine through you. Share your story. I mean, if it helps, share your story with this family. Practice on all of us here. That way you'll be ready when the time comes to share in other spaces. Let's make it normal to share these stories here. I mean, I would love to hear your faith journeys. You can call me, stop by the office, or maybe, just maybe, we can go grab some coffee sometime. Real soon. But you have a story. You have a testimony. You have been given this gift that God wants you to share. God wants you to share with your brothers and sisters here and share with all of those people outside these walls who are trying to figure out why exactly you can feel peace and calm in the midst of storms. Why is it that you can love your neighbor as yourself? They want to hear the story. You have a story, and your story is your story. It's not my story. It's not Mary's story. It's not Gary's story. It's your story. And only, let me say this, only you can share it because it's yours. So who are you going to share your story with today? Will you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, thank you for the stories. Thank you for the testimonies that you have placed on our hearts. Thank you for the transformed lives that you have given to us. God, we know that it's difficult to share. It's difficult to talk about things like this in public. But God, give us the encouragement that we need. Give us the wisdom to know when is the right time to share. When is the time when someone needs to hear words of hope, words of grace, and words of love. And God, when that time comes, speak through us. Give us the words to say. Because we know they will be your words, because it is our stories, but God, it is mainly your story. Guide us, help us. In Jesus' name, amen. I will hold your peace. As we go forth from this place, hear the message once again, even as we heard in the song, who will bear my light to them? Who will bear God's light? Will it be us? Will it be all of us? I hope so. God has given you a story to share. We have been given this transformed life that we can witness to wherever we go. And maybe we think back to last week and say, we share this message, and when necessary, we use words, right? So go forth, knowing that the love of God, the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit goes with you, and it goes with you always. Happy Valentine's Day.